Okay, if not, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word. If you would, take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Sean knew exactly what we were doing. He's a psychic. Matthew chapter 6. If you would, whenever you get there, to go ahead and stand in honor of the Word of God. Give me a second to get there. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be in verse 19. All there? Okay. Matthew 6, 19, this is Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, and so you guys kind of know the background of it. He's sat down his followers, his disciples, and the multitudes. There's a difference. There's those that have already committed to him and have already chosen to be a disciple of his, and there's those that are just there, multitudes, those that are interested in him, but haven't really committed to him yet. And so he gets them all, and he sits them all down. Actually, in that day, the teacher sat down. But anyways, he's talking to them, and he wants to show them how to be his disciple. And so it's pretty exciting. It's exciting for us, the Sermon on the Mount, we've heard a lot about it, but just imagine back then how exciting it would have been to have this man, whether you recognized him as God or not, or as the Christ yet or not, or just this man who's performed miracles and is a great man of God. He's going to tell you how to live this life, how to be his disciple. So it's really exciting. So right here, right in the middle of it, and right now he's kind of focusing on, really it's this, how we focus on the things of this world. Okay, how do we view the things of this world? And we'll talk about that in a second. So verse 19, he says this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So tonight we're going to talk about the title, Which Life Consumes You? Which life consumes you? This life or the life to come? It can also be entitled this, Worry About the Temporal or Rest in the Eternal. Worry about the temporal or rest in the eternal. Which life consumes you? Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truths of your word. We're just thankful that you love us, Lord, and that you can take care of us. And pray that you help us tonight to be attentive to what you have for us. Pray that you'd help me, Lord, to have clarity of thought and to just proclaim your word and help us all to leave here knowing what your message is from this text and how it applies to us and help us to submit to that, Lord. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Which life consumes you? So I read an article last couple days. The article title is this. This is the name of the article. World of Warcraft video game You know what that is? It's some crazy popular video game that people play. World of Warcraft video game currency now worth more than Venezuelan money. You hear what I just said? Video game currency. Like in the game World of Warcraft, you can get like gold. You can mine it and stuff and get gold, and you can use that gold to buy things. You can buy armor and other stuff. I have to admit, when I was a teenager, I played this a little bit. Not to the extent that these guys do, I'll talk about it in a second, but I'm just saying the World of Warcraft video game currency is now worth more than Venezuelan money. Let me read a couple things to you. Data has shown that the video game currency within the MMO, which is multi, should have looked that up. Sean, you know what it is, MMO. Massive multiplayer online. That's it. Massive multiplayer online. So that's what it is. All these people have these fake lives online, and they're like an elf or a dwarf or whatever, and they play. So the data has shown that the video game currency within this game, World of Warcraft, is now worth more than the real-life currency of Venezuelans Bolivar. Crazy. You can get $1, and you can use that dollar to buy 8,493.97 Bolivars. Okay, that's the Venezuelan money. $1 will get you that money. 8,493.97, okay? World of Warcraft token, a piece of gold, okay, which can be bought for $20 from the in-game, it's worth this much. $1 is worth 8,385 gold, okay? So real-life money, Venezuelan real money, Bolivar, is worth almost $8,500, 8,500 Bolivars, I mean. $1 is worth that, and $1 is worth 8,385. So you can get more for your money out of real money than out of this fake money in World of Warcraft. Crazy, right? So what happens is, this is kind of what happens, is you might be thinking, well, what are you talking about? Real money to buy fake money? Yeah. Like, people are so consumed with this thing, with this World of Warcraft game, that there's little people all over, probably not little, but there's people all over the world, mostly actually in third world countries, and they pay these people to play World of Warcraft, okay? And they play World of Warcraft, and they just do the whole thing. Their whole point of playing it is to mine gold in this fake world, and then they sell the fake gold for real money. And they're making money off of it. Like, more than Venezuela is making off of their money. Crazy, right? It's insane. These people are consumed with this. And I mean, I think it's pretty clear to see that, you know, there is among the youth maybe this tendency to be a little bit consumed with video games, like with fake life, okay? Now, don't get me wrong, video games, it could be okay. There's nothing necessarily wrong with video games themselves, but our youth have a tendency to be like consumed with it. You know what I mean by that? Consumed with it. Like, I'm not going to go get a job because I need to spend the time that I'm, you know, going to spend working a job. I need to get to the next level. Okay? So they're playing this game. Just think about it. So they're playing this game. They're playing World of Warcraft. There's this cool elf with this, you know, axe or whatever. Got this armor on. And they work and they work and they slave. And they're there. They wake up. What's the first thing they think about? World of Warcraft. My cool dwarf guy. I'm going to get on there. I'm going to get my. Some people, I know people who have a fridge right by their computer so that they don't have to get up and go get the drink. It's like, I'm thirsty, but I don't want to lose my spot in my fake game to like take care of my real life problems of drinking, okay? Of like hydrating myself. That's not important enough because I'm in this fake game. And so they have the fridge right there. They open the fridge, still looking at the screen, you know, it's grab the water, or probably not water, like Mountain Dew or something to keep them awake. Because, look, why would I sleep? Because sleep is not as important as, like, playing this fake game, right? And you guys know, I'm sure you know people. I mean, we make fun of Sean. He's not there, okay? He's not consumed, I don't think. But there are some people that are consumed. And when I say consumed, remember what I said? Which life consumes you? The life that consumes those guys is like a fake life, right? And so imagine if your child was in that and they were consumed, like, we think it's funny, but I mean, think of it, put that in your own world here, and your child is, all he cares about is this fake fantasy life. And he works and he slaves and he mines and he does all this stuff, you know, and I can't remember all of it, it's been too long. And all of it is for this. They get to the end of it and they have like a pixelized prize. Understand? It's not even like a real trophy. Like Tyler's going out there to get some trophies. You know, he has a trophy. He has it. This is a pixelized trophy. You know what I mean? A fake trophy. So they're working their whole life just so that they're putting all their effort into it. They're neglecting real life so that they can be in this fake life. And you know what's going to happen? Eventually they're going to win. And then whenever they win, now what? Well, we got to get another game. And all that time that they spent investing in this fake life, in this virtual reality life, is now basically wasted. Like, what do they have to show for it? I mean, what happens whenever World of Warcraft isn't cool anymore? And then all that time that they spent building up that fake life is now totally wasted. You know what that's going to cause for them one day, eventually? Massive, you won't even believe, disappointment. Because they'll be thinking back and thinking, I could have spent all that time that I spent on this virtual reality, and I could have done things that actually matter, you know? Like I could have built up some, you know, money so whenever I'm an adult I can pay for food, you know? And maybe pay for this video game console and pay for my power drinks that I drink, you know what I'm saying? I could have done things that actually matter. Like I could have invested in real life, things that are going to last. But now I spent all this time, all this energy, all my focus on this thing that now means absolutely nothing. And you look at your kid and you would be devastated for them, wouldn't you? If they just ignored you, because I'm sure you would tell them, look, you need to get in real life, okay? You need to put that away. It's fun, but you need to get back in reality here. And you would probably pry and try to get them in and back to real life. But if they just rejected you and they were sucked in this game, then the game wasn't cool anymore and their whole life is devastated, you would be devastated for them, wouldn't you? And if you take that and you multiply it by like a million, our Heavenly Father is watching us. And we're in this life. And we're consumed with this life. And we're mining, you know? We're working. We're getting our degrees. We're getting our money put away. We have our retirement figured out. We have all this stuff figured out. And I'm not saying that this life isn't as important as the virtual reality life. I'm not saying that at all. This life is a million times more important and infinity of times more important than a virtual reality life. But if you put the life we're living right now and you compare it to eternal life, understand? If you think about life in an eternal way, that when we pass from this life, all that stuff that we're so concerned about, all that money that we're mining for and that retirement plan that we're working so hard for, and all of those relationships that we think are so important, and we're going to put all of our whole life into it, to the neglect. Listen, it's not bad to invest in all these things, but to the neglect of eternal life, there's an issue there, isn't there? You're going to get to the end of this life, and you're going to be done with this life. This life will be over one day. I want you to understand that. One day, this life will be over, and you'll be standing at the end of this life, just like that video game guy who got to the end of his you know, virtual life, and you'll get to the end of your life, and you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and this is what you may be thinking. I could have spent so much more time on the life that really matters. Yep. It is said that the moment after a person dies, he knows exactly how he should have lived. It's a good statement. Because this life's important. And listen, there's nothing wrong with this life, and there's nothing wrong with investing in this life and figuring out a retirement and being responsible with your finances and getting all these things lined up and all that stuff. There's nothing at all wrong with that. But whenever you allow for this life to cause you to neglect eternal life, there is an issue. Just like video games aren't necessarily evil, I want to stand up here and preach, you know, unbiblically that you can't spend any of your time in any kind of video game. I mean, there's nothing intrinsically evil about video games. But whenever you let that video game, that fantasy life, that virtual reality life, neglect actual reality, there's an issue. And it goes the same way with this life and eternal life. And so Jesus wants to clear off a spot here and help his disciples understand that. And he wants them to know what does consume you? Which of these two lives consume you? Because, listen, you can only be consumed with one. Okay? You have to choose whether or not you're going to be consumed with this world, or you're going to be consumed with this life, you're going to be either consumed with this life, or you're going to be consumed with eternal life. And you can't be consumed with both, understand? Because to be consumed is that's what you're about. That's your life. That's your motive. That's who you are. And you can either be all about this life, or you can be all about the next life, but you can't do both. Understand? You can't be consumed with both. Now, I didn't say you can't be consumed with eternal life and still take care of this life, but you can't be consumed with both. Understand? So he wants us to understand some things about that. First point here is, Jesus wants you to understand that this is how you know if you're too consumed. Like you can it's pretty obvious with a gamer if they're too consumed. Okay? Like if they're chilling on the couch right there and they don't move and they drink all of the soda and they eat all the chips and they've got the fridge right by them and I can get into some weird stuff, really gross stuff actually that they do. And you can tell when someone is too consumed with video games. So, but for us, it's sometimes hard for us to understand when we're too consumed with this life. Because this life isn't a game, right? This life isn't virtual reality. You could spend zero time on video games and be totally fine. Promise, it actually is true. I know sometimes we don't know if that's true or not, but it really is. You could spend zero seconds of your entire life playing a video game and you'll be fine. But you probably want to give a little bit of thought to this life, understand? So when are we too consumed with this life? How do we know that? So this is the first point. You are too consumed with this life when this life is more important than the life to come. Or it could be said this way. When this life causes you to neglect the life to come. Okay? So Christ told his disciples they had to choose between God and this world. You had to choose. And you have to choose to be consumed with this life or the next life. Let's look at verse 19 again. He says this. Now, before I say that, I want to help you understand, because there's a lot of things going on. It seems like there's a lot of things going on, but between verses 19 and 24, he's really using three different, he's attacking this point from three different angles. Okay? First one is treasures. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So he's telling these people, in that time, they didn't have like bank accounts and credit cards and debit cards and all that stuff. If they were to store up money for themselves for the rest of their life, make a retirement, if you will, they would have to store up like gold and clothing, like expensive clothing, like silks and whatever else is fancy clothes. I don't know. But that's what they would do. They would store these things up, and they would keep it there, and then whenever they needed it for the rest of their life, they would be set, because they just go dip in there, get some gold, and they could buy what they need. And so Christ is telling them, don't be all about. Now, he's not saying don't ever store up anything, but he's saying don't be all about, don't be consumed with storing things up for this life and storing gold and storing this clothing and stuff, because, look, this is the reality, that gold will eventually rust. And that clothing will be eventually moth-eaten. And if it doesn't get there, eventually a thief could break in there. Listen, any time. Like, you're thinking, oh, yeah, but yeah, the gold won't rust for a really super long time. And it'll take forever for the moths to eat that up. It'll be fine. But listen, at any single time, a thief could, if they're smart enough and if they're powerful enough, break into wherever you have that thing hidden and stored and take everything, and then you'll have nothing. That could happen. And if you are all about this world and all about storing and you put your security in that and you're consumed with that and you're saying, I could do whatever I want because I got that stored up, it can be gone in any second. Could be. So he's saying, don't do that. Don't put your value in that. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, he says, don't put all your stock, all your life, all your energy, all your security in that. This is what you should be doing. Invest in eternal things. Invest in heaven. Invest in the life to come, because the things you lay up for heaven will be there for all of eternity and all of eternity. And the one who is holding those treasures isn't some kind of vat where you think you have man-made security around it and barbed wire and all that. No, no, no. God Almighty is guarding that. And you've given that in God's hands, and it's in his hands, and you'll never lose it. Moth will never eat that up. Rust will never rust that away. No thief can steal the things that you place for eternity. And you'll have that after you pass from this earth. Even if a thief doesn't steal that stuff that you have, at the end of this life, it's gone. And these things that you invest in eternity, listen, that'll last forever. Okay? Now that's important, but really his main point is this. Verse 21. For, and so don't lay up, don't be all about this life that's going to pass away. Be all about heaven. Have your life consumed with heaven. Not necessarily just because that's the case, because one's temporary and one's eternal, but because of this. For, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what God's concerned about? You know that he's not concerned about what you have, really, in the end? I mean, he cares about you. But what he's primarily concerned about is your heart, is your soul, is who you are. And if your heart, listen, if your treasure, what you're focusing on, what you're consumed with, whatever that is, you can't help but attach your heart to that. Understand? If your security in this life, if all you're about is storing up, and I'm not saying, again, don't get me wrong, Jesus isn't saying don't ever store things up, and if you do that, you're evil, nothing like that, but he's saying if that's what you're about, if that's what you're consumed with, then you cannot help but attach your heart to that, and God is looking down at you, and he's saying you're going to be disappointed, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to get to the end of this life and find out that you wasted it because you didn't put any time in eternal things. Understand? He's sad for you. He loves you. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to have a life of meaning, a life of fulfillment, and he wants you to get to the end of this life and hear from the Father, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into paradise with me," and have a good sense about it and saying, in your heart, "I know that I've done what I can for God. I wasn't perfect, but my life was about eternity. My life was about God. My life was about souls. My life was about serving the one who created life, and my life was not about the temporary life." He wants that for you when you get to the end. So that's the first metaphor. This isn't all about money. These are metaphors in a way. The way he's attacking it, he's saying, don't invest in this life, but invest your treasures in the next life. Now, there's a financial principle there as well, but the overall point is that. Don't invest in this life. Invest in the next life. Now, verse 22. Second one he's talking about is your eyes. Okay? It's a metaphor with your eyes. Verse 23. But if thine eye, okay, I'm sorry, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Now, this is what he's talking about. In the medical world of that day, and in our world too, the way that we let in light into our brains, like pictures and images, is through what? Through our eye, okay? So what lights the body, it's kind of the idea of a lamp. What guides the body, what helps your entire body know where to step, so I know this pew's here because of my eyes, and if I didn't have my eyes, I might walk right into it, understand? And so what guides your body, the lamp of your body, the light of your body is your eyes, okay? And that's what he says. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your eye, single means they're together, focused, synchronized, and if your eyes are both focused on the same thing, then your whole body will be lit, will be guided. You'll be oriented. You'll know what's going on. You'll go the right direction. You won't run into stuff. You'll be oriented. Your life will be oriented if your eyes are focused. Okay? Verse 23. But if thine eye be evil. Now, every time we see the word evil, we're like, whoa, wicked. If your eye somehow is wicked and Satan's eye or something. No. It's nothing like that. It's like corrupt. Okay, that's what evil means, corrupt. So in light of sin and morality, evil would be corruptible and corrupted morality-wise. But he's just talking about if your eye is corrupt or is like diseased, or there's something wrong with it, and you have one eye that's diseased and one eye that's good, it's not going to work out very well. You're not going to be able to focus, understand? You won't be able to focus. That's what he's talking about. If you're not focused, if your eye is not focused, and this is what he says, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. You won't be oriented. You'll be disoriented. And so he's saying, if your eyes are focused, then you'll be able to walk and you'll be guided. And if your eyes are not focused, then you'll be in darkness and disoriented. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So he's saying, look, this is what he's saying. If you're focused on light, then you'll be able to move around and see what's going on. So if you're focused on eternal things, if you're focused on the light of eternity, then you will see clearly in this life. And you'll be oriented and you'll be able to navigate through this life. But if you have one eye that's evil, one eye that's focused on the things of this world, that's focused on darkness, that's not letting in light, and you have one that is, that's not going to work out. You're going to eventually focus on one of them. You can't focus on both at the same time. It doesn't work out very well. But then he's saying, if both eyes are focused on darkness, how great is that darkness? So if you're focused on the eternal life, then you'll be good and you'll be light, you'll be lit and you'll be oriented. If you're trying to focus on both, it's not going to work. And if you focus on the things of this world, how great is that darkness? Yep. Disoriented. You'll be going through this life thinking you know where you're going, but you don't really know where you're going. Thinking you have it all figured out, but you don't really have it all figured out. Thinking, you know, I got this life figured out. I got this game of life, if you will, figured out. I've got all my ducks in a row, and I'm doing great. And then all the while, you're neglecting what's important, and your eye is not single on the light, and you're walking around in darkness and don't even realize it. Okay? That's a second. So there's a treasure invested. So don't be invested in this life. Be invested in eternal life. Don't be focused on this life, but be focused on eternal life. And the last one there is in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Now, those sound the same, but they're not. It's the same idea as the eyes. You can't serve. Now, when he says serve, he's not talking about being an employee. He's talking about being a servant, like a slave, like a bond slave. And you cannot be a bond slave to two different masters at one time, okay? Because if you're a bond slave to both, either you'll love one and you'll hate the other. That means you'll totally neglect one and serve the other one wholeheartedly, or you'll hold to one and the other one won't be as important to you. Understand? Like, you might be able to touch it sometime, but he won't be important because you'll have to eventually choose one. And you can't serve God. You can't be servants to God and servants to mammon, which is, mammon would be the things of this world. Things like, it would be money, it would be possessions, it would be just the temporary things of this world. You can't be enslaved to God, in a sense, and at the same time, enslaved to this world. You can't serve two masters. Can't. So don't invest in this life, invest in eternal life. Don't be focused on this life. Be focused on eternal life. And don't serve this world. Serve the God of this world. Okay? So that's what he's saying. You know you're consumed. You know you're consumed with this life when you're allowing it to cause you to neglect eternal life. Understand? Point one. Point two. How else? You are too consumed with this life when you are anxious about the things of this life. Understand? You are too consumed with this life when you are anxious about the things of this life. Choosing to invest their lives, these disciples he's talking to, in this life, choosing to focus on this life, choosing to serve this life rather than the life to come, manifested itself in this. In worrying about the things of this life. Not saying considering, not saying giving thought to, he's saying consider and worrying about it and being anxious about it. And that's, if you look in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now hold on, Brother Chad, you just said, you're allowed to think about it. Yeah, it sounds like that, but in the Old English, and if you even look in the Greek underlying it, it means this. Taking no thought means that you're consumed with it. The same thing. But it implies this: anxiety, worry. You can't stop thinking about it. It's running through your mind all the time. How am I going to take care of this? He says, don't be concerned or rather not concerned, but anxious or worried about this life. Okay? Take no thought. So whenever you see that, it's going to be, he's going to say that phrase a little bit. Take no thought a few times. Every time you see that, he's saying, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't fret about these things, about your life. Saying this, about this life, about this temporary life. There's no reason to be concerned. There's no reason to be anxious. There's no reason to worry and fret about this life. What you shall eat. Now, it's easy to get concerned about that, anxious about that. What you shall drink. What you, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. So he's listing stuff that matters, right? He's listing these basic needs that you need to worry about, right? You need to have these things. It's not just once here. He's not saying, you know, don't worry about the iPad. Okay, no, he's not saying that. He's like, don't worry. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, any of those things. There's no reason to be anxious about those things. Now, we think about that. We say, we don't understand. Well, we'll help. Christ right here will help you understand why you don't have to be worried about that. First thing is this. The end of verse 25, is not the life, so he's talking about the fact that you have life, more than meat, and the body, like your physical body, more than raiment? This is what he's saying. This is the first point here. Is that Christians who worry have forgotten that God is in control, and they are not. This is what he's saying. Is not the life more than meat? Hey, can you add to your life? Have you given yourself life? No? No, not at all. God gave you life. God gave you the means to exist. He breathed the breath of life into mankind. He formed you in the womb. He's given you life. And is not the life more than meat? I know that sounds weird to people like Brother Sean and I, because sometimes meat seems like it's more important than life, but it's not. He's saying this. Now, meat in that day it denotes just all food. And he's saying, is not life more important and really, in this sense, harder to obtain than food? Isn't it? Between the two? Which of you have ever, like, created life? Nobody. You created food, maybe. But God created life. And if he created life, can he not create food? If he's provided you life, can he not provide you with food? And then he says, is not the body more than raiment? Like, God gave you a body. Don't you think he can clothe your body? Understand? He's in control. That's what he's trying to say. And we'll go through these a little bit quickly here. There's a lot going on here, but we want to get the overall idea. So then he goes into some metaphors. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He's in control of feeding them. He provides for what they need. For the birds, are you not much better than they? So he's saying, look, you are more important than birds, aren't you? Birds, they don't work. They don't like gather food into barns and have a safety blanket, but they go out every day and they get what God gives them, exactly what they need, and they bring it back to their nest, and they will get what they need, and they bring it back to their nest, and God continually takes care of them. And aren't you more important than birds? Do you think you are? You are. I promise you are. And we can prove that to you. In Genesis, wherever he said, let's make man in our image and let's give them dominion over the earth. But I think it's pretty clear to understand. Look, we're more important than birds. He takes care of birds. Which of you, verse 27, by taking thought, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Now, one cubit to your stature, it could mean making yourself taller, but it could also mean this, adding to your life, extending your life longer. So he's saying, which one of you, by worrying, can make your life longer, can give yourself more life? You can't do it by worrying. God will provide more life for you or less life for you. God's in control of those things, and he's in control, ultimately, of your food. He can provide for your food. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. The lilies of the field, They toil not. They're not fretting about this thing. They don't spin. Neither do they spin. That means they're not there at the spin thingy making cotton gin and making clothes. And that's what it means by spinning. He's not like, sometimes lilies do spin, you know. And not like that. He's talking about spin clothes. They don't do that. But God provides for them. He says, verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The one who had everything, Solomon, the one who had all the clothes he could want and the finest clothes in all the world. And he says, Solomon, who had very likely the most beautiful clothing in all of the universe, was not as beautiful as these lilies. And if God can take care of the lilies in that way, aren't you more important than the lilies? That's what he's saying. So the second thing is, Christians who worry have forgotten that God cares for them more than anything in this world. Yep. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So Christians who worry, have lost trust that God will provide for their needs. They're just like the Gentiles. They're just like those who don't know God. They live in this world as if God doesn't exist. And they have lost trust that the God of this world will provide for their daily needs. Yep. If they focus on Him. And in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he's just saying that if you focus on the things of God, if your focus of what you're about is on eternal life and upon the things that are eternal, namely the Word of God, then God will provide for you what you need. He's saying, look, you don't need to worry about the things of this life, because if you concern yourself, this is the main point here, if you concern yourself and if your life is consumed with this world, then you will not be able to give attention to the things of the next world. Understand? So if you choose to be consumed with this life, then you will not be able to be also giving what you need to give to eternal life. But if you focus on eternal life, if you focus, and if your life is all about, and if you're invested, and if you're focused, and if you're serving for the life to come, then this world will also be taken care of. Isn't that awesome? If you're worried about this life and the needs of this life, that means you're consumed with this life and not consumed with the life to come. Because if you're consumed with the life to come, then you'll know that God is in control and you're not in control. You'll know that God loves you more than anything else in this world, and you'll know that God is more than willing to provide for the needs of those that are His. If you're consumed with that life, it'll take care of this life that we're so worried about, that we're consumed with. It's kind of a paradox in that way. Because whenever we're consumed with this life, no matter how much we have, in the end, I bet you Donald Trump is still worried about, what if something happens and I lose everything I have? Because all that he has is this life. He's consumed. And I'm not just picking on him. I'm just picking on someone who has a lot of things. It could be anybody. Bill Gates, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Anybody who has, even if they look on the outside, like they have everything they could possibly need in this world. If they are consumed with this world, and they are not consumed with the next life, then all they have is this world, and they know that it could all be gone in a flash. Doesn't matter how much you have. Who remembers the stock market crash? There were a lot of people who thought they had everything they needed, and in a second it was gone. And all of that stuff is temporary. All that stuff will cause worry. But if you're focused, and you're invested, and you're serving for the life to come, then ironically, this life will be more secure as well. Yep. But what about tomorrow? Right? Oh yeah, I got today figured out. Today I'll serve God, but what about what happens tomorrow? Yep, we're prone to do that. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He's saying this, every single day there's going to be cause for worry. Every single day, if you're consumed with this life, You can be consumed with God today, and then tomorrow you'll be consumed with this world. And if you do that, listen, every single day is going to be something to worry about, something to stress over, something that you don't know what's going to happen. So this sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. He's saying, look, don't get so caught up with what's going to happen. I mean, be responsible. God tells us, you know, to provide for your family, and he tells you to work for your money. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so he tells you to do all these things, be responsible, but don't let it consume you. How do you know if it's consuming you? Well, you know that this life is consuming you if you're letting it cause you to neglect the next life, or if you're anxious and worried about this life. Don't do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of it. Remember this tonight. Be concerned with the things of God while God is concerned about the things you need for this life. Understand? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for just how good you are, Lord, and just you're such a powerful and, Lord, high and holy and supreme God, and you're in control of everything. And Lord, you're so holy, Lord, and we're so weak and fickle and frail and sinful. And we're just so thankful that you love us and that you care for us more than anything else in this world, and that you'll take care of us. And we don't have any reason to fret or worry. And Lord, we can invest our lives in you and just trust you to take care of this life. We love you, praise you, in Christ's name I pray. Amen.